from KQED.
This is the California Report. Good morning. I'm John Sepulveda. We begin with an update on Sunday's bus crash near Desert Hot Springs, which killed 13 people, including the bus driver. The company, USA Holiday, owned and operated one bus made in 1996. The company was operated out of an apartment in Alhambra. Court records show the owner had previously been sued for other collisions, including one where three people died. This case is yet another example of how California's casino bus industry is loosely regulated. KPCC's Ben Bergman has been covering the flaws in the industry, and he tells us that it is normal for a tour bus company to be operated out of an apartment.
And oftentimes what will happen is if a company receives safety violations or is forced to shut down, it will simply reopen a short time later with a completely different name. So it's hard to really know if a company does have problems or not, or at least the people behind it, if they have problems or not.
Is there any statewide regulation or local regulation of these buses?
No, it's really federal regulations. I mean, the California Highway Patrol is involved in inspecting these vehicles, but it's really up to the feds to regulate this. That's part of the problem, is that some of this falls between the cracks in terms of state and federal authorities. And the biggest problem is that federal authorities are simply overmatched. California has the most tour bus operators in the nation. We found some 400 operators. And there's just a handful of federal inspectors.
Finally, Ben, I know that this bus was manufactured in 1996. If I was driving a car from 1996, my friends would say I am driving a hoopty. Was, in fact, this bus the equivalent of a hoopty?
I don't think you could call anything about this bus modern. It didn't even appear to have seat belts. And you think about airplanes, which, granted, are a lot more complicated than buses, but everything from the coffee maker to the refrigerator is very carefully regulated by the FAA. And it's nothing like that for buses. You can have older buses like this one that not only appear to lack seatbelts, but also really don't do very well in crashes. You see just horrific structural damage in incidents such as this one. And that's really because the rules for these buses have not been updated for many, many years. So when bad accidents do happen, the buses can just split in half, or the roof can come undone like you're opening a can with a can opener. It's really horrific. And a lot of times these buses are quite flimsy.
Ben Bergman joining us from Los Angeles. Ben, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And you can find a link to Ben Bergman's reporting by going to my Twitter feed. I'm at JohnLGC. Back in 2012, Californians were facing a big, deep budget crisis. And so voters decided to have rich Californians pay a higher state income tax to fund schools, healthcare for the poor, and other programs. But here's the deal. It was supposed to be temporary. Enter Proposition 55. It gives voters the chance, to paraphrase economist Milton Friedman, to prove whether nothing is as permanent as a temporary tax increase. Here's Capital Public Radio's Ben Adler.
Okay, let's start our story back in October 2012 with California Governor Jerry Brown on the campaign trail.
I want to pull my sign up in case anybody is watching. It's Proposition 30. Please vote yes. Thank you.
Brown promised Proposition 30 would balance the state budget and even avoid deeper cuts to schools. Here's how he framed it earlier that year when the state faced a $16 billion deficit.
I'm linking these serious budget reductions, real increased austerity, with a plea to the voters, please increase taxes temporarily on the most affluent and everyone else with a quarter of a cent sales tax.
Proposition 30 passed with 55% of the vote, and it balanced the state budget for a while. But with schools and other programs crippled from years of budget cuts, the governor and legislative Democrats increased spending every year since. The state's general fund is now more than $25 billion larger. And because of all that new spending, Proposition 30's expiration could create a new deficit. Which brings us to Proposition 55.
Are you ready to start? All right. Hello.
Backers gathered at a Sacramento middle school in May to kick off their campaign. Here are Eric Hines with the California Teachers Association and LaFonza Butler with the Service Employees International Union.
We can't afford to go back to the days of massive teacher layoffs,
larger class sizes, and cuts to programs like art and music.
This initiative simply asks those that earn the most in our state, the wealthiest 2%, to continue paying a little bit more for a little while longer.
That little while longer is actually 12 years. Although Proposition 55 allows the sales tax increase to sunset at the end of this year, it would extend the income tax hikes through 2030.
On a budgetary basis, this is terrible policy.
Mike Genest was former Republican Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's top budget aide. He says income tax revenues from the wealthy soar in boom times, but plummet in recessions.
This up and down cycle of our California budget, where it's feast or famine, is unhealthy for the state. It's bad for the programs that rely on the budget.
In addition to the usual support from labor and progressive groups, the measure is also backed by doctors and hospitals because it steers some of the money to Medi-Cal, California's health care program for the poor. Governor Brown has stayed studiously neutral this time. The California Chamber of Commerce, which was neutral on Prop 30, now opposes Prop 55. To Chamber President Alan Zarenberg, a lot has changed since 2012.
There was clearly a deficit and there was a need. Now the question is now the right time, after we sold that to the voters with a temporary increase, that we should go out there and virtually make it permanent?
Yet the chamber has done nothing to fight the measure, nor have other critics. Perhaps that's because, while it's debatable whether taxing the rich in California is good budget policy, there's little doubt it's good politics. At the state capitol, I'm Ben Adler.
Support for the California Report comes from the California Healthcare Foundation, dedicated to a healthcare system that works for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. The James Irvine Foundation, expanding economic and political opportunity for Californians who are working but struggling with poverty. More at irvine.org. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
I'm John Sepulvedo, telling you to go get the KQED election guide. You can get it at kqed.org/election. This has been the California Report for Tuesday, October 25th, a production of KQED Public Radio.